I'm Muiza Muntali, host of Africa Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Unaccountable, that's what you are. Unaccountable as any czar. Your behavior's reprehensible, your position's indefensible. Tell me, is there someone somewhere so unaccountable for what you say? Unaccountable in every way. Your offenses are...
A new song by Steve Jones in honor of President's Day. And we're going to be hearing from two labor activists, as well as getting a breakdown on Project 2025. I wanted to make a quick announcement that today, in honor of President's Day, there's going to be a protest to uphold the Constitution and end executive orders starting at 12 noon at the Capitol Reflecting Pool. There are President's Day protests going on across the country. And perhaps, Kalia, when you're ready to play a little bit of that second song we have requested, Solidarity Forever, in honor of our union focus today, building resistance through the labor movement.
When the union's inspiration through the workers' blessing, there can be no power greater.
Okay, and those were two songs, starting with Unacceptable in honor of President's Day, and you know who. And then the second song in honor of our focus today on the power of building resistance with the labor movement. We're going to hear from, I'm going to ask the two labor activists to introduce themselves in a moment, but I just want to remind you that this is our Pledge Drive show. This is the last Monday that you can make a pledge. We have a goal of $750 today. You can call 202-588-9739, or you can go to the website wpfwfm.org and make a pledge to Heal DC. We want to catch up from last week where we didn't get as many pledges as we had hoped, but we know that the people are in support of WPFW, and we need you now more than ever. Miyuki's going to join me in a few moments. But before I introduce our first guest in a moment, who's going to be speaking about Project 2025, I wanted our two labor activists who are going to be joining us a little later in the hour to introduce themselves and say what they'll be talking about. Let's start with Sam Epps. Good morning, Sam. The president of the Metropolitan Washington Council, AFL-CIO.
Good morning, Joni. This glad to be here with you. Again, Sam Epps, president of Metropolitan Washington Council, AFL-CIO, representing 150 affiliates, over 150,000 union members in the Metropolitan Washington area. here. So I'm certainly glad to be here, and certainly will look forward to talking to you about the work that our movement is doing to help protect workers, save democracy, institutions, yes. And what we always do is to organize and to grow this labor movement.
Yes, we'll talk to you a little later in the hour. And Chris Doles, welcome.
Thank you so much, Joni. Really appreciate the invitation. It's great to be here. Great to be here with you, Sam. My name is Chris Doles. I am the president of Local 98 of the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. I'm based in New York City, where I work for the Army Corps of Engineers. That makes me a federal employee.
And you also let me just also say tell us about fun. You'll be talking about that later too when you come on.
So I'm wearing a couple different hats because I mentioned my agency affiliation. It's important that I disclaim that anything I say is not necessarily the views of the agency. I am also a member of the steering committee of the Federal Unionist Network.
And I'm sorry to cut you off. We're going to be hearing from you more in a little bit, but we have a packed show today. So I want to jump to our first guest. I promised her some time, and I'm very glad to introduce Jean. I'm not pronouncing
Janae.
That's right.
Janae Lewis. And thanks to our own Lydia Curtis for introducing me to you. Jean is the CEO at Faith in Public Life. She is a faith-based organizer, an authority on creating empowered communities. She is also a member of the DC Working Families Party, St. Augustine Catholic Parish, and she's also with the Women's Social Justice a cappella group called Sunrise. So we're very glad to have you on. We'll unfortunately, we have to rush through this, but Project 2025, I heard you give a fabulous hour and a half presentation or 2 hour presentation the other Sunday. But let's just jump into the basics about Project 2025. Tell us about the history of this project and the billionaires, the three billionaires I think you mentioned that started it and are responsible for partially responsible for what's going on.
Thanks for having me, Joni. Again, it's Janae Lewis from Faith in Public Life. And I can't quite say I'm excited to talk to you about Project 2025, but I'm glad to be with folks doing good work to protect our democracy. So we've heard a lot about Project 2025 over the last year or so in the election cycle, but this is a comprehensive document plan that's more than 900 pages long that was researched and generated with the leadership of the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative think tank based here in Washington, D.C. So over 100 state and local level organizations, conservative organizations, collaborated to create this plan. And the vast majority of them are funded by two billionaire networks or philanthropies. The first is the Koch Network, the Koch brothers. And then the second is Leonard Leo Philanthropies. So when you look at the 100 nonprofit organizations who helped construct this plan, again, most of them and the Heritage Foundation are funded very heavily by these billionaire networks. And that's really important to understand because when you think about who is incentivizing and controlling the ideas that are involved in this plan, which are now being implemented, it really boils down to these two sets of billionaires, which is very dangerous for our democracy, because in the plan, you will see, and we are seeing, that it does not necessarily reflect the opinions or the beliefs or the desires of the majority of people in our country, which is what our democracy is about. The plan is designed or was designed to target evangelical Christians in particular, and misusing Christian language and Christian ideas and imagery in order to justify fringe conservative beliefs. And the plan also focuses on positioning key players in the Republican Party, and this has been going on since the Reagan administration. So this plan is not new. The ideas in this plan, the beginnings of this plan, were really being crafted as far back as the 1980s. And so sadly, as we know, many parts of this plan are already in progress, which is why there's the protests today, one of the reasons why that you mentioned, Joni. And so briefly, I just want to say there are four pillars to this plan, because often when we hear about Project 2025, we think about the policy agenda or the executive orders, which is only one of four pillars in the plan. The second pillar is having a personnel database to identify conservatives from across the country who want to serve in this administration. So it's like a LinkedIn for conservatives. The third pillar is a Presidential Administration Academy, which has already been in play, and it offers certificate programs for folks who are recruited through that personnel database. And then the last pillar, which is what we're feeling most acutely here in DC, but slowly but surely the rest of the country will feel it too, is the 180-day playbook that looks at every single federal agency and has a transition plan for every agency. So the coercion to have folks quit their jobs, the appointments, the retaliation against civil servants, career civil servants who are perceived to be disloyal by the Trump administration. All of those actions that we're feeling here in DC are part of the 180-day playbook.
Wow. And I want to also mention the impact on unions. Of course, it impacts, I don't know if we even need to tell people here in DC how much it impacts so many things. But I just wanted to briefly mention, and people can go to the AFL-CIO's toolkit, summary of what Project 2025 is. Briefly, the impact on unions includes banning public employee unions. I'll repeat that, banning public employee unions. Private unions can also be terminated. Employers can retaliate against union organizing. It allows states to ignore minimum wage and overtime pay, eliminates child labor rules, lets bosses eliminate unions mid-contract. And everything we fought for, and I'm saying we, including our ancestors, everything we fought for is being chopped away. But that doesn't mean we can't fight back. So I encourage people to check out the AFL's toolkit to really get an understanding of the unions. So let's see, anything else you would like to say before I ask you to kind of wrap up for now on what we can do to build the resistance? But if you'd like to make a quick summary of where we are with the executive orders or the cabinet appointments, I imagine a lot of listeners know, but
sure, I can just in a minute or two. So I'm sure we've all been tracking the different cabinet appointments. You know, being here in DC, we know the president appoints people up and down the career chain. But when we look at some of the most prominent departments, so Health and Human Services, Department of Education, Department of Energy, and then of course Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy the new Department of Government Efficiency, I think it's important to look at the folks being appointed. Many of them have personal interests in those departments. So Chris Wright owns an energy company and now is head of Department of Energy. Linda McMahon has no explicit background in education, but is running Department of Education. And then of course, Elon Musk, we've seen the havoc that he's wrought. I think it's important to pay attention to who's being appointed and how they may have other business interests, monetary interests, or political interests that are not about service in those agencies or expertise, but more about serving those interests. And then with the executive orders, we know coming out the gate, there were more than 50 executive orders signed within the first few weeks. We've heard a lot about the policies targeting immigrants and refugees, but there are also executive orders explicitly revoking or repealing orders that President Biden put into place during his tenure. attempting to revoke birthright citizenship, again, retaliating against government officials who prosecuted Donald Trump for his felony charges, and then others around the death penalty, ironically, encroaching on states' rights, which is something that the Trump administration says that they care about. So there's credible news about this, you know, from folks like WPFW, but also I encourage folks to look at Associated Press or even foreign news, BBC, Al Jazeera, to get other perspectives about what's happening in our country and to read the news, not watch the news. But yeah, I'd love to share a little bit about what we could do, Joni, if, yes, if there's time.
Yes.
Great. So I want to encourage everyone, we are in an authoritarian regime right now in our country. And this is not new. We see it globally. We've seen it historically. One of the number one rules when we're living in this environment is not to comply in advance. So unless something is officially law or unless something is officially being leveraged against you with a warrant within your rights, do not volunteer information, do not engage in advance. And please encourage your friends and business leaders to do the same. Also, do not give in to intimidation because DC is really well networked. We have beautiful communities of mutual aid. We have a strong social service and social justice network here. And so we can support each other and take care of each other. I'm so glad to see our leaders from unions here because organizing in community and organizing for power is really important in this moment. Do not be intimidated. Hold on to your jobs, hold on to your positions, hold on to your rights. That is very, very important in resisting the spread of authoritarianism because the administration cannot enforce all of the things that it's threatening. It cannot enforce everything that it's threatening. And so until someone makes you comply, do not comply. I also want to offer folks to connect. If you are not involved in a community organization, a service organization, a union, a congregation, find the issue or the action that you feel called to do in this moment and affiliate with an organization that can help you do that. DC is a wonderful place to do that. We're in a really good position here. And so I encourage everyone to find a group of people to affiliate with. And the more you are connected, the more you will be connected. When you are connected to an organization, you'll get information, you'll have opportunities to act in ways that are comfortable and appropriate for you. But it's really important to join up with others in this moment. And lastly, I'll just say, be encouraged. Joy and hope is resistance. DC is a beautiful, beautiful city. And one day, God willing, will be a beautiful state. And we are so powerful here. I am daily encouraged by how folks are standing up for our rights. And we are on the front line for our entire country to protect our democracy. So really glad to be a person living here in DC at this time.
Thank you so much, Janae Lewis. And you're going to join us at the end of the hour as well to yes, talk more about what we can be look forward to in this frightening time and the role of hope and faith and more. So that's, thank you, Janae Lewis, CEO at Faith in Public Life. And she is already very much a part of our WPFW family. We're thankful that you could be with us today. And today is, as many people know, the last Monday in the WPFW's pledge drive. Before we jump in with our powerful, inspiring union activists, Miyuki's going to help me to encourage you to make a pledge in honor of this show to Heal DC. As many people know, WPFW is even more important than ever. We have to make sure that we're strong as we continue to walk through these days and weeks and months ahead of us. So, Miyuki, you there?
Yes, I am. And I just want to thank you for having me as a guest. Justice and peace are the foundation of true healing for individuals, for our city, and for our democracy. Healing begins with justice. Systemic inequity, violence, and disenfranchisement are wounds that must be addressed for real change. To Heal DC, fight for policies that ensures equity and dignity for all. Folks, we have a goal of $1,000. Please go to the phones and give us a call and make a pledge. 202-588-9739 is the number for you to call. As Ms. Lewis said, connect, and connect with WPFWs. Ensure that, as Joni said, that we stay strong. The number to call is 1-800-222-9739. If you're listening on the web, go to the Donate Now button. It's WPFWFM.org. If you have a phone and you have Cash App, please go to $WPFWFM. And if you would like to text WPFWFM to 801-801, you can become part of that, one of those organizations that you want to be affiliated with. Again, what Ms. Lewis said is take action and affiliate with an organization. This is your opportunity to affiliate with us, 202-588-9739. Let's go. We got $1,000 between now and 11 o'clock. We can do that, 202-588-9739.
Yes, and as Miyuki just said, we're looking for new members, new members. Perhaps we can get thousands of new members from the labor movement and thousands of new members elsewhere, but it starts with just you. You can also be a sustaining member. That means you can pledge $10, $12 a month, $20 a month, and that really helps us throughout the year. So we're going to come back, and I had a lot of people promise me they're going to make a pledge. I'd like to thank Dr. Frank Smith, who definitely made a pledge, and we're looking forward to thank others in a few moments. But with that said, we're going to give our imaginary drum roll to our two exciting, inspiring labor leaders with us today. Sam Epps with the Metropolitan Washington Council AFL-CIO. And Chris Doles, with his one hat he's wearing today, is with the Federal Unionist Network. Let's start with Sam. Sam, tell us what is going on. What is the Metropolitan Washington Council doing, perhaps this week or in general, and how is it looking for the union members that you represent?
Yeah. Thank you, Joni and Janae. Thank you for being here. You reminded me of my sermon I heard yesterday, that morning is coming, right? And so it may be dark right now, but morning is coming. And so we know what happens when morning comes, and joy comes in the morning. And so certainly appreciate you being here with us. But what we're trying to do at the Central Labor Council and also at the AFL is really to convene. There's a lot of folks in DC who want, one, to protect DC. And let me start off by saying, which is really important for us in DC, is not only what's going on the agencies, but home rule, right?
Absolutely.
Home rule is absolutely important for, it's a workers' issue. It's a civil rights issue. It's an economic justice issue. And so we want to put that out there first. But we are trying to convene, organize, and communicate among all stakeholders here in DC, and to be a resource for all of those workers, communities that have been impacted by all of these executive orders. And so there's some things that we are really working with, and we had the pleasure, along with Nova Federation, to sponsor the Fun Network reception on Wednesday night. Those are the things that we are just trying to connect. Those activists and individuals are on the ground with individuals and union members who are impacted, and we need to support them now as they are going through this, and you know, and finding ways, and also to create solidarity across our movement, right? Because folks who are in the federal government are feeling it right now, but we have private sector individual unions as well too, who right now just, you know, are going on, you know, their day-to-day things. But what happens in the federal government impacts them, because if those who do work for the federal government, they do meetings and all that. So my private sector union, my own local union. If folks don't come here and visit DC, they are out of work as well too. We know what this will do to our economy as well. It has a trickle down effect. It immensely have workers who live and work in this region. And so it will span from ranging that. And so some of the things we're doing is trying to create rapid response teams around immigration, around federal workers, that we can respond and react. And build solidarity around that. So be a table that convenes, communicates, and organize. So those are sort of the broad things that we are doing. And then I'll have a little later some things that individuals can do to be a part of that.
Yes, and I want to thank you, Sam. I was there last Wednesday night. And through these frightening times, it was so inspiring. Like you just said, it was joyful to be in that packed house at Busboys and Poets with all the activists. Definitely gave me more hope. And Sam, just mention what union you're with.
Yeah, my local union is Unite Here Local 25, representing hotel and restaurant and gaming workers in the region. They are right now organizing five restaurants here in DC where workers said that they want to join a union and have a union representing them right now in this moment we're in. And that's the kind of resistance that Janae was talking about, right? It's to find your place and space with an organization to push back on this authoritarian government.
Absolutely. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM, Jazz and Justice. This is To Heal DC with me, Joni, and we also, I believe, have Chuck Hicks with us today.
Good morning,
Chuck. It's good. I'm so happy that you're here with us. Of course, Chuck also comes from a strong union family, as I do. He was a former president of Ask Me, DC Council 20. His father was a union member and more. And Chuck, whenever you want to ask a question and jump in, you may want to, let's introduce the next guest, who is also very powerful and very exciting to have him here from my original hometown, New York City. And that is Chris Doles. Good morning, Chris. So glad you could be with us.
Yeah, good morning. Really appreciate the opportunity to be here with Janae and Sam and all of you listeners in DC. I am in New York. I am spending more and more of my time these days in DC because that's obviously where the center of federal worker organizing is. But we are also, 85% of us are all over the country. And it's actually, I think, a major mistake that the Trump administration is making, that we can make this crisis unmanageable. They are intentionally creating a political crisis that they think they can manage to reshape not just the federal government, but our entire democracy in a way that's really no longer democratic. And their gambit is that they can use primarily immigrants, transgender people, and federal workers and public workers more generally, who they've convinced themselves are unpopular public, you know, sloths, to use Elon Musk's language, parasites on the taxpayers. They've convinced themselves that we are the right combination of punching bags to shore up their base and build a bulwark against the democratic movement that's going to stop them. I think they're making a massive mistake. For my part, as a federal worker and a leader of a federal local, we are tapping into a broad democratic sentiment that is preparing to stop them. We're starting later than I wish, but we are organizing and we are building coalitions with our public sector brothers and sisters all across the country, because 85% of us are not in DC. This is not just about the so-called swamp that's supposedly holding up their agenda. We are Americans in every single congressional district, and we may, because we're spread thin, we may numerically be too small to make a difference in their congressional reelections next year. But if we can tap into the broader public labor movement with the teachers and the nurses and so many others who have a more recent history of mobilizing forces to
you know, support the services in their communities. And I think about the Red for Ed movement that swept Kentucky and West Virginia and Arizona and other states. I think about the Chicago Teachers Union, the Massachusetts Teachers Association, and all of the public sector, the local public sector unions that have shown the strength and importance of the public services that we execute. The federal workforce has a lot to learn from them, and we need their back right now. I think there's an opportunity right now to make the crisis that they're creating unmanageable, but that means it's going to require mass democratic mobilizations that the labor movement hasn't actually put up in a very long time. So the Federal Unionist Network is committed to organizing as best we can the federal workforce. We're reaching out to our brothers and sisters in the broader labor movement to do that. And really the first next thing is this Wednesday's National Day of Action. And your listeners should get plugged in. There are two events in DC. I assume most of your listeners are there. But if you go to go.savepublicservices.com, you can see all the actions. As of yesterday, there were more than 30 organizing committees already in place for organizing actions in more than 30 cities across the country. We're seeing more and more every single day. I wouldn't be surprised if we have upwards of 100 by the end of today. But in DC, there are two I'll flag for your listeners. One is at noon. It's going to be outside of the Health and Human Services building in Capitol Hill. And then at 5:30 p.m., it's at the Federal Triangle at 5:30, and they're going to do a march on the SpaceX office. Because ultimately, we federal workers and recipients of federal aid, whether it's food stamps or otherwise, we are not the parasites. We are the workers who make this country work. They, the billionaires, are rich because we are poor. They are the parasites. Elon Musk and his companies have raked in more than $18 billion in contracts in the last 10 years, and they want to quadruple that number in the next 2 years. They want to turn the federal government into nothing more than a contracting agency to funnel taxpayer dollars into the pockets of SpaceX and Tesla and all the other Amazon. They want to turn the American government into one big tech corporation capable of making them even more rich and expand the already historic inequality. And the Federal Unionist Network is right now rallying federal workers, but we're not going to be enough. We need to link arms with all the other victims of this attack, public sector workers, but also whether it's the immigrants' rights movement, whether it's our transgender brothers and sisters who are facing the most violent expression of this. We need everybody to band together and stand in defense of our democracy, and federal workers are right out front and brave and courageous and refusing to be cowed by the fear that they're attempting to instill.
Absolutely. Again, you're listening to Chris Dulles calling in from New York City, and he is one of the activist members of what you just talked about, FUN, F-U-N, Federalist Unionist Network. I am so inspired by them. I didn't know what to expect, but I'm just overjoyed that this organizing is taking place. People are interested in becoming involved with FUN. I don't know the email or the website offhand. I don't know if you do, Chris.
Right now we're directing everybody to go.savepublicservices.com. That's where you can learn more about our day of action, sign up, get plugged into your local actions. Like I said, in DC, it's noon at the HHS building and at 5:30 at Federal Triangle. But yeah, the website everybody should go to is go.savepublicservices.com.
Absolutely. And I also want to mention that on Wednesday, there's also a town hall meeting in Silver Spring, Maryland, supporting federal workers Wednesday, 7 p.m. at Silver Spring Civic Center. And Senator Chris Van Hollen and Senator Jamie Raskin is going to be there. That's Wednesday, 7 p.m. Chuck, if you want to ask a question, just jump in.
Quickly, Joni, I'd like to have them come in about the concept that this is not just federal workers being affected. That there will be somebody else that you know will be affected by what's going on. So please come in about not just federal workers, but workers and people who depend on federal workers' paychecks. All of this is affected. I think we need to make sure that people not see this as just federal workers, but this is people in America, all over America. You, the rooster pecks, he will peck all over.
Yeah, Sam, I'm sure Sam can jump in on that one.
Thank you, Chuck. And Chris went to this. This is just not about federal workers, right? This is about our whole ecosystem of workers and working people in this country. That's why the AFL has created the Department of People Who Work for a Living, right? Because the most people in this country work for a living. And what has happened here is billionaires, it's the billionaires against working people. That's what that is. And if you look at, because we're in our region here, and as Chris has said, 85% of federal workers is outside of DC, but I look at it and it's an ecosystem here. People come to DC to see the federal government, to visit our monuments, the Smithsonian's and stuff like that. But when they come, they get on a train, and that's an ATU worker, or that's a Teamster worker, right? Then they come in their house, or they work and go out to a show at the Kennedy Center. That is a stage. And that is everyone like that. And then they stay in a hotel. And when they stay in a hotel, that's the hotel workers. That's a family, that a housekeeper who is making a good wage and has health care here. And all that creates taxes that go into DC government, right? And that pays for our firefighters and our teachers who are public sector workers. And so if there is an ecosystem, and families will be affected by that, as this undemocratic and takeover of our federal government system is working. Chris is absolutely right. This is about the grift. This is about money. This is about money going into billionaires' pockets, and also not having any regulatory oversight. And also, it goes directly at what unions have fought for, the five-day work week, OSHA laws, right, wage theft, all those things that you have in our government right now will be absolutely dismantled. Healthcare, vaccines, all the things that we have, cancer research, right, that we look for around this country that helps what I believe taxpayers want, and services that they believe they deserve for their taxes. And so, Chuck, you're absolutely right. This is just not about federal workers. This is about working people, and working people who have worked for a living and want services and to live in communities that are safe, communities that they have services. And there's responsibilities from the state and also the federal government. This is really going to impact states as well, too, because many of the dollars come in through our states, right? Our education state departments are funded by our federal Department of Education, special ed, Title IX, all those things that parents want to have for their kids in public schools is being dismantled right now. So Chuck, you're absolutely right. And I just want to sort of lay that out there very quickly, Joni, for your listeners to understand that this is just not about federal workers.
Absolutely. And Chuck and I are very thankful that you're here with us with the Metropolitan Washington AFL-CIO. And I wanted you to just mention the unions you represent. But Chuck, you wanted to say
it's Chris, comment. Yeah. Could I just add on to that? I think everything Sam's laying out is exactly right. I just want to be very clear that the attacks on federal workers are attacks on our services, the actual services that we provide. So I'm a civil engineer. I design, build, estimate the costs of, and help facilitate the actual construction of flood walls and levees to make sure that our communities are protected from floods. And part of the process is to make sure that federal dollars aren't going to just protect the third homes of the rich on Long Island, but are made sure to protect public housing in Red Hook and Brooklyn. Our process is mandated to provide equitable protection for everybody. Those principles of equity are on the chopping block. That's my corner of the federal government. Our siblings who work at the EPA protect our water and air to make sure it's safe to drink and breathe. And from the perspective of the billionaires like Elon Musk and Donald Trump, when they see regulations, it's just an obstacle to more profits. It's a way to slow down the construction of the pipelines that move the oil all over our country to facilitate the climate change that's ruining our whole planet. They see regulations as things that are just impeding their profit and slowing down their expansion at whatever cost to the environment. They don't care. But for the rest of us, for the vast majority of the American public, regulations protect ourselves, make the water and air safe to drink and breathe. It protects our children. The education example, the healthcare. We have one of the largest parts of the federal government outside of the military, the Department of Defense, is the healthcare that we provide our veterans. One of the greatest healthcare systems in the world. People always talk about Europe and Canada as great, like single payer healthcare systems. We have one of the greatest single payer healthcare systems in this world. In the Veterans Administration, where efficient, high quality care is provided to our veterans, and thank goodness it should be the case for everybody. But guess what they want to go after? They want to go after the healthcare for our veterans. The services we provide are the things that's on the chopping block. The face that they put forward of the supposedly lazy federal worker is what they use to justify the cutting of the services. But if there are no Social Security workers, there is no Social Security. If there are no VA nurses and doctors, there is no healthcare for our veterans. If there is no engineers and planners and architects building flood wells, then our communities are going to be flooded. The attack is on the public sphere itself. The privatization that we've seen over the last few decades, it turns out, was just a practice round for the onslaught against the entire public sphere. The entire public is at risk. And if you're listening to this and you're not a federal worker and you don't have an obvious way to plug in, obviously come out on Wednesday, go to go.savepublicservices.com, but also when you're at church next weekend, talk to your leaders, talk to your faith leaders, and talk to your fellow congregants. When you drop your kids off at school, talk to the other parents. This is an all-out mobilization to defend the public sphere itself and to defend democracy. We all need to become organizers right now. And I'll just make a plug because I got my origin.
Enter your meeting ID.
Somebody needs to put themselves on mute. And Miyuki, Chris, we're going to come back to you in a moment,
sure,
but
we need to
keep, no, you don't have to apologize. We're keeping our all of ourselves alive, including this radio station. We don't get any corporate money. We don't get funded by the military. That's
Enter your participant ID. Somebody
needs to mute themselves, please. So Miyuki, you there with us?
Yes, I am. Washington, D.C. is a city of power. And you just heard how Chris so eloquently and passionately spoke about the needs and the fact that attack on the federal workers is an attack on our services. Too often in Washington, D.C., the power doesn't serve the people who need it the most. To heal D.C. is fighting for justice, equity, and peace, because when our communities are strong, our city thrives and we all do well. Joni Eisenberg presents fascinating, informed, clear-headed guests that help educate us and help us figure out how we can maneuver this current crisis that we're living in, how we will resist, how we will organize. And so please, if this is even come to value, do as others have done. Folks, we are doing great. We want to thank Anonymous in Tacoma Park, who thanks WPFW for everything, especially today in the support of good government and federal workers. Carol in Washington, D.C. made a generous pledge as well. Thank you, Joni and Heal D.C. for bringing valuable information to D.C. and particularly your support of workers in D.C. statehood. And let me just add, here in D.C., yes, we are terrestrial, but we are communicating to people across the nation and around the world. If you appreciate the fact that we are organizing, not just here in Washington, but we are organizing all people to, again, realize that this attack on federal workers is an attack on our personal services, things that protect us, our water, things that protect our health, things that protect our climate. We are all going to be victims of this if we don't take action. Ernestine Wyatt in Washington, D.C., thank you so much for your generous pledge. Pamela,
that's it. Let me just say that's Harriet Tubman's great-great-great-grandniece. So thank you. And Harriet Tubman's spirit lives on with us.
Yes,
here
she
at
does.
PFW.
Pamela Wilson in Washington, D.C., thank you so much for your generous support. Anonymous, Joni, your work in the community to promote justice is much appreciated. That's from Capitol Heights. And Reginald Lloyd from Columbia, Maryland, also made a generous pledge, and he did it by becoming a sustainer. And you too can do that. If everyone listening, if everyone who appreciates this information just promised $12.50 a month. Think about how you spend $12.50 a month. That's a parking garage payment. That is a croissant and an expensive coffee. That is something that maybe you could afford to miss. Give that once a month to WPFW, and we can together become strong, because that once a month becomes a $12.50, becomes $150 a year. If 10 of you do it, we'll blow this goal out. We're very close. Please continue to call 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. You can go to the web, or you can go to Cash App, $WPFW, or you can text WPFWFM 801-801. Jody, I'm going to step back because I want to hear from you. You've got great guests here that are really informing our listeners on how we can interact with this current crisis. So I know they're going to call. You're doing really well. You only need less than $500 and you make be at goal. So please, if you're listening, each show wants to do its part to make sure that WPFW survives and thrives. 202-588-9739.
So we can bring in that $500 in the next 10 minutes. I know we can do it. So we're going to go back to our guest, our powerful guest, Sam Epps, who is the president of the Metropolitan Washington Council, AFL-CIO, and Chris Doles, calling in from New York City, who one of the hats he's wearing today is with the powerful organization called FUN, Federal Unionist Network. And I'm going to jump back to Sam real quickly. And again, I wanted Chuck and I want to thank you for being here. The Metropolitan Washington AFL-CIO has long been very much a part of this radio station. Josh Williams, who was the president of the Metropolitan Washington AFL for many decades, I believe, was always right here with us. And so we're thankful you're here with us today. Just real quickly, Sam, tell us some of the unions that and the numbers of people that you represent at the Metro Washington AFL.
Yes, our geographical location is D.C. and five suburban Maryland counties, Prince George's, Montgomery, Charles, St. Mary's, and Calvert County. We represent over 150 affiliates, from transportation workers to hospitality workers, nurses, federal workers, local government, sanitation workers. We have a whole bunch of classifications here with 150 affiliates around the region.
And so we're very happy that you're here with us. We're going to have to ask you for some closing comments. And then we're also going to bring Janae back in to wrap us up today. So again, Sam, tell us what's coming up this week and how people can stay involved, or whatever you'd like to say.
Yeah, this week is a federal recess. And so Central Labor Councils across the country are meeting with congressional leaders. Really, that is one of our asks, but also convening and working with networks and tables that we certainly are part of as well too. And I think one of the things we would ask for individuals to do is really stay connected with us, and you can do that at dclabor.org. That's www.dclabor.org, and on our Twitter and Instagram, or X and Instagram, is at dclabor, at dclabor. And so one of the things that we're really trying to do, and Chris sort of laid that out there, of all workers, is workers to tell their stories and to be able to help communicate that out through the network, but also to the broader external community as well too. And so at our website and on our newsletter, there is certainly a toolkit that we have there. We have information. Many of the states are beginning to do things to help impact the workers. So there's resource information, there's information to join unions, there's information that you can connect, and we can connect you if you're interested in joining a union, and also really keeping and informing our members and the general public on the actions and the resistance that's going on organically within communities here. So yeah, those are the things that we're really trying
absolutely
to do and create a rapid response network on many of these issues.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry to be rushing everybody. I'm going to ask Janae Lewis to jump in and give us a little bit of faith and hope that we can make a difference, as Sam and Chris is already doing that. But Janae Lewis, CEO at Faith in Public Life.
Thank you. It's been such a joy to be here with our union brothers who are leading us. You know, Faith in Public Life, we are a multi-faith organization, and we work with faith leaders across the country who want to work together for justice and equity and for communities where folks belong and where people thrive. And so right now in this moment, people of faith, I'm a person of faith, many of us are people of faith, we have an important and unique opportunity. God is calling each of us to figure out what we can do in this moment. And there is a lot of work to be done, right? The lawyers are lawyering, the unions are organizing, the churches are preaching, the mothers are mothering, the caretakers are caring, and all of that work is necessary. So I wanna encourage everybody who's listening first to discern what is it that you are being asked to do. You don't have to do what everybody else is doing, but what is it that you are being asked to do, and then to fearlessly and courageously do it and to affiliate with others who are doing the same thing so that you can be more powerful. But I also want to remind us that we have been here before. So not in my lifetime, but we collectively have been here before. When I hear about my grandparents and how they navigated Jim Crow in Louisiana, we have been here before. When I think about our ancestors in DC who have navigated administrations up and down every 4 years, we have been here before. And when I think about our country and the diverse places that all of us have come from, how we got here, our Native American brothers and sisters who are still fighting for their sovereignty with this country, we have been here before. So I don't want people to despair, because we have the wisdom within us to navigate this time and to be successful and bring about the community that we want. And it's important for us to draw on our faith and our values as we're doing whatever it is we're called to do, so that we're doing it from a place that is rooted, that is certain in community, that is certain in the divine, and that is certain in values. If you'd like to connect with Faith in Public Life, our website is faithinpubliclife.org. On X, we are Faith Public Life. And again, my name is Janae Lewis. We are also networked to many other faith-based organizations. So if we're not the right one for you, I could tell you a long list of 100 others who might be. But I just want to thank everybody who's listening, who's being courageous and who's standing up right now, and all the guests on the show today, and Joni for having me.
And the next time we have you on, we're going to ask you to sing.
I'd love to bring Songrise back again and sing some songs for you.
Yeah, so we're going to take you up on that, and I'm going to ask Chris to quickly say the final words, but before he does, I just want to say, make a pledge and honor your ancestors. I know I've been making pledges to other shows, but I may have to make a pledge and honor my mom, a strong union activist. I see her, even though she's gone. I see her. I see her at these meetings. I see her out in the demonstrations. So think about your own ancestors who stood up for justice and for peace. Chris, your final words and comments for today.
Before I say something specific about the next steps for the movement, I just want to say that I became an activist and an organizer because WPKN in Bridgeport, Connecticut was my community radio station. And my dad used to take me there when he would volunteer and support and answer phones. And when I was in college, I had a program at WORT Community Radio in Madison, Wisconsin. Community radio is one of these institutions, and you all know this, but just to remind you that it's amplifying all of the resistance in the movements that we build. And so when you're investing in community radio locally, you are investing in the future, you're investing in the movements, and you know this, but now's the time to we do these things, right? We have to raise the money, because God knows the billionaires aren't going to make it any easier for us. In fact, they're probably going to make it a lot harder. So definitely, definitely dig deep. Today's the day to make that contribution. Help get your community radio station over that finish line today to provide the next 6 months. And then in 6 months, whenever they do it again. So just want to make that plug, because community radio has made me into whatever public speaking skills I might happen to have, I got from community radio. So I just really want to thank the whole community radio community. And then I'll just say, really agree with what Janae just said. We've been here before, but every time in the past that our side has won, and I think about the New Deal, you know, we look back, I think we take for granted that the 1930s resulted in the New Deal because the social crisis was such that it needed resolution and FDR, blah, blah, blah. The reason we got the progressive conclusions that the New Deal gave us, which they're, of course, trying to kill off for good, and they've been whittling away for decades. But the reason we won, that the 30s wound up turning this country left, and granted, it wasn't perfect, and there was a lot more, and the civil rights movement helped clean up some of the mess they didn't finish. But the reason the civil rights, the reason why the New Deal wound up the way it did, instead of going to the right, instead of going to fascism like so many other countries did, was because we had a mass movement primarily of workers who looked beyond the four walls of their workplace. And industrial unionism won the day. And the motto of solidarity helped show the entire American public that the working class was the vehicle for change to actually resolve the problem of the Great Depression and to put our system on a track that was sustainable for the American public. That was not predetermined. That was the result of self-conscious organizers who saw themselves as part of the movement. And so today, workers, make your unions better, get involved with them, look beyond the four walls of your workplace, reach out to your coworkers, use every community space you have, whether it's in the places where you worship, whether it's in your other community spaces, whether it's in community radio, your schools, your workplaces, every opportunity you have to mobilize right now. We are at an inflection point in history, and what we do now matters more than ever. So please join us, federal workers, the website again for our mobilization, our day of action. Tomorrow, the day after tomorrow is go.savepublicservices.com. Our slogan is Save Our Services, SOS. We're putting out a distress signal to the broader American public that we are the canaries in the coal mine. And if the federal workforce, you know, if they get away with chopping us down, then the whole of our democracy is at risk. So really appreciate the opportunity. And again, support community radio. Thank you guys for giving a platform to the work that I'm doing with the Federal Unionist Network.
Thank you so much, Chris. And again, that's Wednesday. Tell us again the time and the location.
So in D.C., there's two rallies at noon at the HHS building by Capitol Hill, and then at 5:30 p.m. at Federal Triangle. That one's going to have some speakers, okay. And then they're going to march to SpaceX office.
Okay, we're almost out of time. Yuki, how are we doing?
You're doing okay. We just need about $300 more, and we'll be at goal. So 202-588-9739 is the number that we're asking you to call. When you give, you help us fight for justice. I mean, Chris gave a very eloquent...
Yes.
So just 202-588-9739 should be enough. But from fair housing to public safety, we push for policies that protect and uplift our communities. When you give, you invest in real democracy. We empower people to vote, to organize, to make their voices heard. When you give to help heal DC, a healthier city starts with addressing the root causes of injustices. Together, we can create a change. So, folks, we have minutes remaining. We only need $300, and Joni will have made her goal. 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. Please think about how you can give, become a sustainer, become a use your credit card and invest in something for the future. Please support Joni and Chuck and Heal DC and WPFW, because together we can make a difference. As Janae Lewis said, be courageous, take a risk, come on, and understand that if we become affiliates and we work together as an organization, we make a difference and more powerful one than we could do standing singly. Yes. So please, 3 minutes remaining, 202-588-9739. I know that y'all are coming through.
And Miyuki, people are texting me their pledges. So I want to thank Pam Rogers, in case she didn't officially call, as well as Dr. Frank Smith for the pledge. But we're going to go out, and we want you to keep on calling 202-588-9739 or the website pfwfm.org. I want to say we, meaning To Heal DC and WPFW, hope to really continue to work with the labor movement, with FUN and with the Metropolitan Washington AFL-CIO. So we need this station to help bring the messages. But we're going out with a song that I heard Miyuki play, a special version of Get Up, Stand Up for Your Rights by Nina Simone. We're going to wish Nina Simone a happy birthday this week. We started with a song called... I'm forgetting the name of the song. Irresponsible, I think it was. But that was in honor of our president. But we also had another song, Solidarity Forever, which we can dedicate to Frederick Douglass, who also was celebrating his birthday last week. But let's go out and hear Nina Simone singing Get Up, Stand Up, which we all have to do now more than ever. Thank you, Kalia. Thank you for the Two Heel DC team. And let's hear a little bit of that Nina Simone. Stand up for your rights.